Welcome to another episode of We're Disappointed, the show where two average folk talk about things in media, in society, in life that tend to be disappointing.
Messing with the connection.
It's annoying.
Yep.
But we're good now?
I think so.
Okay.
You can give it
which
at least
episode
one a shot.
Are we doing?
We can do Burnout.
Okay.
Don't have to do intro. We can just jump right into it. I have like a couple of questions, just like describe what the last two, not questions, but you know, like prompts, describe what the last 2 years have been like, and like how did you know you were heading for burnout, stuff like that.
Okay.
What does it feel like for you, etc.
Sounds good. Should I start recording?
Yeah.
Okay. Hit and record. There are my claps. Now we can go.
So you want to jump in? You want me to do it? I mean, I don't mind either way.
It don't matter to me.
I think it's because I turned up the volume so much. I think I'm getting a little.
You can turn it down if you want.
Yeah, I'm going to try.
Okay. That should hopefully be better.
Just like the line looked fuzzy, you know?
Mm-hmm. I'll turn myself up a little bit.
Let me turn the ceiling fan off, too. I forgot that I had it on.
Okay. So would you say that you are officially burnt out?
I think so. I was going to say, like, burnout is, like, you know, a term that I've seen all over the internet and Twitter. Airplane. Jesus Christ. I need a second for that. I really can't compete with that. It's really stupid. Okay, so I was going to say that burnout is, you know, something that you see, I've seen all over the internet this year. And it's just like, what is burnout, essentially? Like, how would you define burnout?
Just reaching max capacity.
Just knowing that you have more to do, but feeling mentally and emotionally incapable of doing it.
So nothing in the tank, even though you have tasks.
Yeah, that sounds right.
But yeah, when did I know I have burnout? Was that your initial question, right?
Well, my initial question was, would you consider yourself officially burnt out?
Would I consider? I feel like I'm on the other side of burnout a little bit. Like I'm actually more productive and enjoying being more productive than I have in the last 2 years. I'm still not where I was prior to January of last year.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a step. It's definitely a step in the right direction. But I was like really legitimately burnt out there for a while. It's just like I knew I had stuff on my to-do list, like stuff I need to do, and I couldn't do it. Like I didn't have the energy. I just wanted to just vegetate.
So how did you get yourself to the other side?
Oh, hang on, I got a plane. I don't know if you can hear it.
No, I can't.
I had to let myself vegetate. I had to let myself do nothing for a little bit. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. Would you consider yourself officially burnt out?
Yes.
But I don't have the luxury of doing nothing for a bit.
Mm-hmm. I could take a day or two or like the weekends, but it's not enough to recover.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know. I feel like you need at least like a legitimate vacation amount of time, like at least a week.
I don't know, it's also like the symptom is burnout, but focusing on that isn't looking at the actual cause of it.
And so it's like going on vacation for a week isn't eliminating the cause. And so it's like having that time to try to regenerate a bit, it's not going to help all that much because you haven't tackled the cause of it.
What do you think was the cause of your burnout, though?
I mean, just everything that was happening in the world and feeling incredibly angry and helpless over it.
Mm-hmm.
And just like feeling a huge sense of futility and uselessness, and just this feeling of inevitability. Like there's nothing we can really do. So let's just lie down and die.
And it's like, I get that. I had that issue as well. Please forgive me for stopping, because just like I said, like I feel like I get swallowed up by these fucking planes. So whenever I hear a plane coming, I just stop. I feel like I have to stop. But like, sorry, hold on a sec. Okay, so I like, I feel that I lost my plane train of thought. Fucking plane. It's fucking annoying. I should have wrote it down. But like, what was I saying? I was talking about.
I don't think you had actually started saying anything.
You got really quiet. I can't hear you anymore.
Are you saying something?
I can't hear you if you're saying things.
Hello? Okay.
Yes, okay.
I don't know what the fuck happened there. But I was saying how I could empathize with the idea of not being able to do anything, but it's like by the same token, it's like it doesn't make sense to worry and stress out about something you can't do anything about. This is coming from me. Yes, I know how this sounds because I'm a fucking hypochondriac and I have really bad anxiety, but.
No, I mean, it's excellent advice.
I'm just not gonna follow it.
and it's not because I don't want to follow it. I just feel incapable of following it.
Mm-hmm. It's just like me with my crisis I was having this week. It's like you have to. It's more stress. But the outcome is lesser stress. It's like you have to be aware of what, like you have to make the decision that you're going to do this thing. And then you have to be aware of when your shitty normal habits keep you or deter you from doing the thing. And you have to catch yourself and put yourself back on course. And it's like, it's fucking annoying. But long term is the better thing for you to do. And it's just me talking about me personally. It's like, if you, like you saying you're not going to do it, it's like that's, you already know you're going to fall back into the pattern of not doing it. So knowing that you do that, you could technically be vigilant about you doing that and course correct.
Because I know there's nothing I can really do about these things, but it's just knowing that doesn't mean that I don't still care.
Ooh, fucking loud to me. I agree that you cannot, like, you can't really turn off empathy. Like, that would be, like, a lot of work, and I don't feel the outcome is great for that. But it's like, you can be informed without combing over the minutiae of issues. Like, you can give yourself an allowance of terrible things. It's like, okay, I'm going to look at 10 terrible articles this week, rather than, like, just a random number, rather than every single one that comes across my plate. It's like, oh, if I see that, no, I can't look at this. I hit my quota for the day. I can't. And then you can look at it tomorrow.
I do sometimes stop myself, especially when I put the screws to myself and go into those terrible Facebook groups to see terrible things.
I'll sometimes just be like, you know what, stop, why are you doing this?
Like, you can't do anything about this, and it's just going to make you upset. And so, like, I just back out from it. But
I mean,
that's just like that. I do sometimes see articles, like articles, with the fall of Afghanistan, it was just like,
I was trying to keep up on it. I was trying to read about it, but it just started getting so overwhelming that I can't look at it anymore. Like these people falling from the planes and shit.
And it's like they found human remains, and one of them was like a 17-year-old, like this is fucking heartbreaking. And it's just like I need to be informed about this.
But it's also just like I'm gonna fucking kill myself.
it's like pushing me into this pit of despair.
So it's like I have to find this medium, and I just haven't found it yet.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, that seems like too much detail. That's like minutia that you didn't need to know. Like, it's terrible.
Those are the articles that the New York Times and NPR are posting. like my main sources of information.
Pick one. Oh, hold on. Okay, thank you, Google. What? Okay, I guess Brandon said something to Google to let me know he's coming home or something, and Google.
That's kind of cool.
That's new. That's never happened before. But yeah, it's like, pick one. Don't read both.
Yeah.
Like, you can't. Like, the most empathetic person in the world still needs breathing room.
Yeah. It's true.
I mean, I know that it's absolutely true.
I'm just trying to figure out how to make that actionable for me.
And it's like, I applaud you for wanting to be informed. I don't particularly. Like, I know these things. I would like to know current events, which I do. But it's like, a lot of it, I just get smacked in the face with. Like, I don't actively seek out anything. Like, it just comes across my plate. And it's like, a lot of the times, it's like, I can't look at it. Like, I know what's going on. I feel that's enough. I don't need, like, for something like that. Like, I know that we like America fucked up over there and people are stranded and everything is fucking terrible. But it's like, I don't personally need to know all this detail. It's like they just keep heaping more terrible shit on you. And it's like, okay, so what am I supposed to do about it?
Mm-hmm.
What is any, like, what can anybody do? It's like the people who can do stuff don't give a shit.
Yeah, yeah, like they're the ones fucking up the situation in the first place.
And it's like, okay, we're mad. People are protesting. People are writing into their congressmen and shit. And it's like, if they don't care, it doesn't matter. So no, it's like, so no. why are you pumping all this despair porn at people? Like, I understand that's the news. The news puts out stuff, but it's like I said, like, I feel like just like you may ingest too much, they put out too much.
Yeah, it's the 24 hour news cycle.
Like, fucking to the minute atrocities, and it's like, we really don't, we don't need that. Like, I get the AP Morning Wire, and like half the time I can't, like, I just read the headlines of that. It's like, okay, noted. Moving on. I don't need to read this whole article.
Mm-hmm.
Moving on.
Yeah.
I could definitely see that as a contributor to your particular brand of burnout. Arrow, stop! Don't do that. Brandon has like a cup that had tea in it. And I don't think it has any more, but she's like putting her whole face in it.
there are a few drops left.
Don't drink no tea. They're both being really bad today. This is not on topic. I mean, I may even leave this in, but it's like, I got right before we started, I went to go see the Outside Cats, and I got a scoop of their food, and Riley, who had his face in a bowl eating food, took his face out to yell at me for food. I said, you are a fucking clown. What are you actually doing? Like, he had food in his mouth yelling at me for food. If that's not fat, I don't know what is.
He's actually insane.
He's actually insane.
Yeah. Oh, man. My particular burnout, like, it's just all the corona shit. And it's like, mm-hmm. I went into that, like, mm-hmm. right on the heels of, like, a big personal relationship friction moment. It's like, I had no breathing room. I went from that into coronavirus lockdown. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I couldn't mm-hmm. even properly process my feelings of that because I'm afraid that everyone I know is going to fucking die.
Yeah.
So I had to, like, I just had, like, a massive headache for, like, all of 2020.
Yeah, I would fucking down ibuprofen. It would be like the first thing that I did every morning is pop two pills.
And then I would take them throughout the day.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, both of us, it wasn't just the start of lockdown. It wasn't just the beginning of 2020. We've been dealing with shit for a while.
So it was just like that was just the coup de grace, like now we're totally fucked, it's just like we didn't have the mental and emotional reserves that we should have had because it had been spent down so much with these previous things happening.
And we didn't have the spoons. I know the disabled community uses that term a lot.
Yeah.
But it's 100% accurate and applicable in this situation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 2019 was rough. 2018 was not great either. Then 2020 was just like a bomb on a bunch of rubble already.
Well, I mean, even starting with the 2016 election, all of the stress and devastation around that. And then it was just every single day some fresh clownery and fresh injustices.
And I also blame, like, the fucking 24-hour news cycle for that, for feeding that shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, I would prefer just, like, a weekly roundup of buffoonery. Like, I don't need it every day. Like, that way I'm informed and I get it all at one time. Like, give it to me on Friday and let me reset for Monday.
Yeah, that would be nice. You need just like a Reader's Digest version.
Exactly.
I'm sure that there are
newsletters you can subscribe to that would do that for you.
Yeah, like who is it? John Oliver with Last Week Tonight or something like that.
Yeah.
Something like that, but like something I could read. That would be good.
Mm-hmm.
Skip over it. Because like he's funny sometimes, but he's also very weird.
Yeah, he's weird.
Like his weird obsession with Adam Driver, like I still don't get
it. That was really awkward.
It's like, please stop. What else I got on here? So, during the worst of your burnout, like, I've lost count of how many planes have come over.
Too many.
Yeah. That's a short answer. But, during the worst of your burnout, did you try to develop any kind of coping mechanisms?
I mean, I guess it's still working, so it was just forcing myself, you know, like I still gotta get shit done, I can't just not do things.
Okay, I mean,
you could still have something else.
You could still have something that like breaks up the monotony of it. Like, I'm not saying, like, a break, like, a week-long break. It could have just been something that, like, an hour. Oh, like, Yakuza.
Yeah.
I mean, that has been my pandemic drug of choice.
It's been amazing.
And it continues to be amazing. It's the best game series ever.
I'm so happy that you're playing it again.
It just brings so much joy.
I haven't picked it up since that other day. I keep meaning to.
Well, you got it.
Maybe. It's just so slow and so many cutscenes. Like I would really, like, I'm down to watch someone stitch together cutscenes in, like, an 8-hour movie. Like, I'm really close to trying to track that down on YouTube.
I guess it just doesn't bother me as much because I save the main shit for when I'm ready to sit down and watch a long cutscene. Other than that, I'm just going through and playing mini games and doing side missions and stuff like that. I'm just like fucking around.
And I feel like I haven't gotten to the point where the side missions are that appealing. Because, like, all the ones I did, in this playthrough, I've already done. And I'm like, okay, well, this is the thing. Let's do something else.
They're funny.
Like, I had the ones I did so far was the girl who was selling her underwear. Mm-hmm. And trying to stop that for her boyfriend or whoever. Or just because it's a good idea to get these girls to stop selling underwear.
Yeah, because they were like high school students.
Yeah. And the, did you hear that?
No.
It was a really weird bird noise.
Mm.
But, I did that one. I did, like, my favorite one so far, I think I mentioned this to you the other day, was with Ayu, the dominatrix who sucks at being a dominatrix.
Yeah, that's a good one.
And then everything else, I think it was like story. There was like one other one. Oh, the one with the little boy and his dad, who's a Yakuza with the
video game
getting stolen. Yeah. I feel like there was another one in there that I didn't really care about. And then everything else was like a story mission. Like, I was just running around and nothing was like jumping out at me to do. So I was like, okay, let me just.
I mean, you gotta get to the point in Majima's
side of things
where you could start doing the hostess shit. That was so much fun. I love that more than Kiru's
side mission thing.
But Kiru's is really fun too, where you do all the real estate stuff.
I don't know if it's a port issue, but the karaoke is definitely bugged.
I don't like the way it's super hard. I suck at it, and I just generally suck at it.
But for instance, like six, right?
It's just this nice long continuous line.
And so it's easier for me to follow along.
But it's just like with this one, it's broken up into mini lines.
And so I'm trying so hard to pay attention to what's on that line.
But I can't look down and ahead to see what's coming. And sometimes it's so fast that I'm just like, I can't fucking keep up.
I like it so much better when it's in a long continuous line because it's easier for me to look a little to the side to see what's coming than it is for me to look down into the side.
I got you. I got my little bit of a rhythm game background, so it doesn't bother me that much. But what does bother me is that the shit is off beat. So if you miss something and you're not on their weird ass beat that you cannot pick up, you're fucked. Like, the whole, like, if you miss one, the whole rest of the shit is done. Just throw it in the garbage.
Have you done the disco dancing?
Yeah. That was annoying, too, for similar reasons.
That one was hard.
That's super hard.
I was not good at that.
I do want to try it again, though, because Zero was the first one that I did.
And so I was just like a rhythm game baby, which I still am.
But I guess I'm a toddler now.
Like a day old infant.
And so I want to go back to see if I still find it. Like as impossible as I did, but it was just so fucking hard to me. I was like, I can't do this. I'm incapable.
I definitely did better on than the karaoke, like out of the box, but it was still weird. It was like I'm using the controller, and me and controllers don't get along for whatever reason. It's like I think this stupid controller I have is like an Xbox Elite controller, and it's like really sensitive, like No Gun, whatever, would use it for Call of Duty, so it's like really twitchy. And it's like I'm trying to move to the little box to hit the button in time, and it's like, oh, you mean this box all the way on the other side of the square from it?
Yeah, that sounds like you just need to tweak settings.
I switched to my plug-in controller and it was better, but it still is like dumb. It's not my favorite mini game. My favorite mini game is going around to all the restaurants and eating food.
I do like that too. It always looks really tasty. I also don't like as much the arcade games within the Sega joints, but I do love the claw machine game.
I like getting all of the stuffed animals and toys.
I didn't get that yet. Okay, I have this question since you play this game. Sometimes there's like a little glowing icon in mid-screen on the left side, and like one of them I figured that was for because I just drank alcohol and looked like a bottle, and it's like glowing blue.
Okay. Yeah.
And then sometimes it looks like a tape recorder or something, or a pager, and I'm like, what the fuck is that?
Oh, it's because you have a pager.
And so if you should have if it came up.
It was just there. I was like, all right. And like, he looked at the message. Like, he pulled it out and looked at it. I'm like, okay, well, that's a thing. And then, like, later on, that was there. And I'm just like, well, what the fuck? And it's like,
maybe it's a bug.
Maybe. Because, like, if you look in his messages, like, there was nothing new there. It was just the same message that he looked at already.
It could be a bug.
It could be a bug.
That it's like not going away.
I wouldn't be surprised. Does he get drunk like other games and like fall over?
Jeez, it becomes a lot harder to control him.
Okay.
Like you can get like I don't know. It's I feel like it's probably every game, but it might not be.
Yeah, there are probably some of the early games where you can't do it.
You can't do it. But there are usually skills that you can buy where if you're shit faced, it increases your power and stuff like that.
Nice. I like drunken style kind of fighting things. Like what game was that? Fucking Virtua Fighter. They had a, and I think Tekken also has a drunken style guy. I think that's
I think you're right. Yeah.
Who looks kind of like Jackie Chan? I forgot what his name is. I should play Tekken.
No, you should play Yakuza.
I can do both.
at the same time.
Not at the same time, but one and then the other. My quarantine slash burnout activity was yoga. Like 2020, I did that almost every day. It's like if I wasn't doing yoga, it was because I was sick. Like I had an upset stomach or I was puking or something. But I pretty much was doing that every day. And then 2021 came, I just fucking stopped. I don't know why. I don't know why. I just didn't feel like doing it anymore. Like, I do it occasionally, but definitely not with the rigor of last year.
It's a way healthier pandemic activity than sitting on the couch and playing video games forever.
That's up for debate.
No, I think it's pretty objectively a healthier activity.
Depends on which of us has better mental health at the end of it. Ah, my eye. Fuck. I feel like I have a lash in it.
Oh, I hate that.
I feel like it's probably because of my something from my surgery, but it's really fucking annoying. I'm just blinking forever. If it doesn't go away, I'll get my eye drops. What else I got here? I feel like we glazed, whatever, over. Oh my god, please. Like we talked about, when did you know you were burnt out? Did we discuss that?
I don't know that it was like a distinct revelation, more like a gradual realization of just feeling like, wow, I suck.
I can't do things.
I just have so little capacity to get things done. And then, of course, you know me, all the feelings of failure and self-loathing that come along with that.
Mm-hmm. But like, what point? Like, how far into it do you feel you were when you acknowledged it to yourself? You're like, okay, I'm kind of burnt out.
I probably was heading into summer-ish.
Of this year?
No, it's previous year.
Okay.
I've been burnt out for a long time.
I've been burnt out for a long time, too. I didn't admit it to myself until this year. It was just, no, you're just being lazy. No, you're just being a piece of shit.
I told you, man.
You did. No Gun did. Two Beards did. And I'm like, no, I just suck. I'm just garbage.
I mean, I thought the same thing about myself, but I also knew it was burnout at the same time.
Mm. And I was in heavy denial.
Well, just because you know you're capable of more.
Yeah.
And you know that you're not a lazy person.
So there has to be some other obstacle that's preventing you from doing things and accomplishing the things that you want to do.
I feel like we also suffer from, like, everything you described, that's like gifted child syndrome. Like people who are gifted children, and they have like that kind of mindset, like they try to maintain that energy throughout the rest of their life, and it's just like, nah, fam, that's not gonna work.
I mean,
it's like for real, like, though.
When I think of what I used to be capable of, I don't even recognize that person anymore.
But she was really cool and badass.
And now here I am.
Just this husk of what I once was.
This is the result of burning the candle at both ends for so long. This is what you get.
Yeah.
It sucks too because in my job
I work so often with these absolute powerhouses that work, you know, they're older than I am.
They're in like their 50s or sometimes even older than that.
And they're just unstoppable.
And so then it just makes me feel even more like shit.
Yeah, but you can't compare yourself to other people, especially like that. It's like, you don't know where they were before. Don't know where they were right before they got here. Don't know what they're like when they're not doing this. Like you say they're unstoppable, they're all this. It's like you are still very much burning the candle at both ends. And I'm sure other people notice how intense you can get with your work. And it's like you feel like a lazy piece of shit. They might also feel like a lazy piece of shit. Like you're seeing the end result. You're not seeing all the work that leads up to that.
Yeah, I know, but just in terms of actual volume of work produced, they absolutely beat me.
Are they doing like the same thing you're doing?
Well, no, we don't have the same jobs.
Okay,
but I mean, it's still like an education.
Okay,
but I honestly feel like their jobs are more intense because they have to deal with, they're more closely connected to the classroom.
So it's more intense work.
Maybe. Have you talked to them about it? Have you asked?
No.
Okay.
I don't want to reveal myself to be a slacker.
Like if somehow I'm maintaining the illusion,
I want to preserve that for as long as possible.
Everyone, she is not a slacker. She is pretty neurotic when it comes to her workload. She is not a slacker. Just anytime you hear her say something like that, just know it's a bold-faced lie.
No, I suck.
It totally is untrue. It's a falsehood. It's like, goddamn fucking plane. Like, if you were also teaching and doing that huge load of unpaid work, would you feel then that you were doing a proper workload?
Yes.
No. No. See, this is what I'm talking about, audience. This is what I mean.
I used to be able to do it though.
You shouldn't. It was not sustainable.
It should be.
No, it shouldn't. Because y'all should be getting paid so that you don't gotta work like 2 and 3 jobs to do that also.
But the work needs to happen.
Like it needs to get done.
So it's like someone's gotta do it.
They should pay people more so they can dedicate themselves to that.
It would be nice.
But you shouldn't be fretting because you can't thrive in a system that's not made for you to thrive. It is not maintainable. It is not geared towards churning out people succeeding in this situation. Like, when you told me, like, how much stuff you have to do and, like, how much you get paid to do it, I was like, you're kidding, right? Like, that's fucking insane.
I mean, that's like educators, though. It's like they capitalize on your sense of duty and responsibility.
Like you know that you're doing important work.
And you're supporting other people to realize their potential as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just like even if you're paid peanuts or you're given unrealistic workloads, it has to get done. Like other people are depending on you.
Like you can't just not do it.
That's why it pisses me off.
What was that?
What you said? You just can't. You can't just not do it. Which part?
Like within education in particular, supporting your students, being a good teacher, being there for them. You can't just not do it.
Okay, I was talking about your grading and all that. I was speaking more specifically about like your grading and your planning and all that other extra stuff that it was hours of work.
But it's not extra. It's absolutely critical to supporting students.
But I'm just saying that's not factored in to what you're paid, though.
No, absolutely not. People know that educators are willing to put in the extra time because they want to support their students, and so they don't have to pay us for that because they know we'll do it anyway.
So it's like just set up to take advantage. Like it sounds like you're describing the same kind of stuff like fast food workers go through just with extra steps.
Extra student loan debt.
It's absolutely criminal. It's disgusting.
I pay for the privilege of being overworked.
Exactly. Insane. It's insane. You pay for the privilege of being overworked, and then you beat yourself up when you can't do it.
Like people say, oh, teachers, they get the summers off. And it's like, you have literally no idea what teachers do, bending themselves over backwards, breaking themselves in order to support your kids. Like, fuck you, how dare you?
Mm-hmm.
It's just disgusting to me. And it's like, sure, there are shitty teachers. Like, there's shitty people in every profession. It is what it is.
But the majority of them love their kids.
And they want them to succeed. And they're willing to sacrifice so much in order to make that happen.
Yep. And, like, they don't care about making conditions better because, again, like fast food, they know there'll be other people.
Yeah.
That are going to take the place, so they don't give a shit.
Yeah, I mean, that's especially like in higher ed with adjuncts, there are so many fresh graduates that are willing to take your place. So it's like, if you can't do it anymore, then it's like, oh, well.
And it seems like it's set up for that.
Mm-hmm.
And it absolutely is. They hold the tenured positions like really close to the chest and don't give them out and don't help anybody. Mm-hmm. And when they do give them out, it's nepotism.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just like, I feel in working in a system like that, there is absolutely no shame. Like, you put in your time, you do what you can do. I feel there's no shame in tapping out. And also, like, I know you still had that drive. You still like educating to an extent. You still like sharing these ideas. I feel that you could probably, like, it would be work. You could probably find another avenue to do such a thing. Like this. Like, just do a podcast where you just, not specifically your, maybe not like your lessons the way they were, but more tailored to just be one-sided. And then you could also have like a forum and people could discuss.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you just that have would, to that would be fun. Get that out. Podcast, YouTube video. So, I feel it would kill on YouTube because fucking people love everything. People love everything on YouTube. Like, you put it out there, someone is going to stan it.
Well, we have that on our list of future episodes. Me yammering about the Matrix or something.
or like, where to find lessons on rhetoric. Yeah, I think those are both there. So look out for those in the future, audience. Oh my god, I'm gonna complain every time.
Well, I feel that we've drilled deep enough into my neuroses for this one, but the magnifying glass hasn't been properly turned to you yet.
Well, what are we gonna say about me? I'm sure there's something. I just am drawing a blank.
Well, okay, so we talked about what your pandemic activity was and your reluctance to admit that you were in fact burnt out. I feel that we need to understand how hard you worked on your writing and your projects when you were at your peak, prior to burnout.
So why don't you talk about that a little bit?
I don't know. I feel like I didn't, though. See, this is... I feel like I was a lazy piece of shit. It's like
always.
What?
You were always working super hard. Like you always had fresh chapters typed up.
You were always writing your neurobook, always working on editing.
Like I would message you during the day.
Be like, how's your day going?
You're like, oh, editing. And it's just like you were always consumed with it.
I guess.
And that's like not even touching like the whole like social media advertisement piece, which I know you hate. but you did it anyway.
Yeah. I guess. I don't know. It doesn't feel like enough. I feel like if I saw some kind of return on it, I would feel better about admitting I did that. But since I didn't, I feel like I was just wasting my time and just bullshitting and being a piece of shit.
No, I mean, it sucks that you didn't see the monetary return that you would have wanted to see. But I think in terms of honing your craft and building your own capacity, it was incredibly worthwhile. And continues to be worthwhile.
I suppose. No, don't get it twisted, audience. It's not all about money. But a big portion of it. I would like money. I'll put it that way. I would like money. And it's like, especially like a couple of weeks ago in these fucking writer groups I'm in, which I admit are toxic. And of course, you're like, I was saying to Jen with her, talking about her coworkers or colleagues who are highly productive. Like, this is my version of that, right? We got these people talking about they made like $100,000 in like 9 months.
Is that real though? That's what I want to know. Is that real? Like, are they inflating their numbers? Because that just seems like a huge volume to move.
It could be real depending on the type of work they do. Like you know, I write pretty slow. I think about my work a lot. I am like straddling the line between trashy romance and something that makes you think. And it's like, I feel like just because it's trashy doesn't mean you cannot think about it. Like I mentioned before, mm-hmm. like I had that person from like overseas, like who reviews books, who messaged me and told me how what I wrote, even though I kind of consider the books kind of trashy, made them examine mm-hmm. their own biases mm-hmm. and made them think. But like these people, they just write to market. They write tropey stuff, and it's just, and if they're not, like, it's like a brain dead kind of activity, which I haven't read the books. I'm not speaking of the quality of the books. I'm just talking about the ideas in the books. Like, you know, the themes, mm-hmm, the mm-hmm. characters, the plot stuff, stuff that has been seen before, which is like what I try not to do with mixed success. And it's like, if they're just churning out stuff that way, it's really easy to do. Like, I'm pretty sure some of them, I'm not naming any names, like, they'll just look at what's there. It's like, okay, this one is a high a high selling series. Let's see what it's about. Okay, they got the broody character, they got the twink, they got angst, they got the dead parents, they got the, so they'll do that and they'll write the same thing and just put it in a different setting. And it's just like, I feel like they're so, like, I guess it sells. I guess it's a viable strategy. But it's just like, I can't see myself doing that because I feel like I would be bored to tears.
You gotta sell, you gotta sell out, man.
I don't know how. It's like, I don't, like, it would take me longer to write something like that than it takes me to write something that I actually want to write.
No, you just fart it out.
I couldn't. Just
take a big just take a big old fat dump.
You do it. You do it and see how far you get because I feel like I've tried and it's like, what's the word count, what's the tropes?
I'll shit something out. Okay. It will be terrible. It will not be good, but I will poop something out.
All right.
It has to be a manageable word count though.
50,000.
50,000?
That's base. That's like for book, for a novel. That's base. I mean, let's do 30. Shoot for 30.
Okay.
Sell for like half the price.
30 is doable.
Tropes are hurt comfort, found family, bratty twinks or some shit, cowboys.
What?
Cowboys or shifters?
No, no cowboys. I don't know how to write cowboys. I'll do shifters.
Okay, and let's see how long it takes you. But like, what the first person I saw that said that they sold this amount said they were publishing a book every month.
Okay. And all right. Like,
so, I'm not sure how long they were. That's my deadline. That long. So yeah, you have a month.
Okay.
Did you write down those things?
Because I don't want to pull out my tray
because it's loud.
Let me write it down. So we got shifter, bratty twink, found family,
hurt comfort, and found family.
Hurt comfort. Yo, but more than shifter, I'm going to make it harder for you and see how much you cringe. Make it Omega.
Why? This is my first time.
No, you're writing
to market. Why are you getting hard with it my first time?
You can do it. I believe in you. I believe in you. Omegaverse.
Wait, so what was the other one that you gave?
Omegaverse.
Okay, so I don't even really know like properly what that is. Isn't it just like they're pretty for each other all the time?
It's like
they're like in heat or something.
That's basically it, but it's a hierarchy thing. It's just like, you know, people talk about being alpha males. It's that. Like, I wish these dudes who call themselves alpha males were more familiar with the shifterverse because they fucking wouldn't call themselves that. But, like,
all right.
It's so, alphas.
It's like a hierarchy, but they also are horny for each other all the time, right?
It's like, depending on where you are in the hierarchy, the lower hierarchy people are horny all the time when upper echelon people come into it. So it's like,
lower people are horny when the boss comes in and you get a hard on.
But it's not your boss like at work, it's your boss genetically. Because the idea is that people are predisposed, like some are leaders and some are not. So you'll have like an Omega.
Wow, this sounds very close to like Nazi ideology.
Yeah. This is why I don't do it.
So it's like porn eugenics.
Yeah, essentially.
Oh my god.
Porn eugenics with M-preg.
Rose.
I don't have to do M-preg.
No.
Okay, thank you.
But it's like, so like an Omega will be horny if like a beta comes around. But then he'll be even hornier if an alpha comes around, and then the beta is also horny because the alpha is around. Like, it's stupid.
But horny only for the alpha? Does the horn go both ways? Like, when the alpha walks in, is alpha also like, alright?
I think
or
so.
Or is he just like annoyed?
I think it's whatever flavor you want, but I think to market would be he is also horny, and he must put his dick in something.
Okay.
All right, so read them back to me again.
Shifter. I'm going to text it to you later. Uh-huh. Bratty Twink. Okay. Found Family. Hurt Comfort. Omegaverse. Okay. I think, for example, hurt comfort, how much of an overarching theme would that have to be in order for that box to be ticked off?
Could I just have a scene where one of the two main characters gets hurt and the other has to take care of them or something like that?
Or does it have to be like throughout, like this is what's going on?
I think it can be as small as that.
Okay.
I like that story idea I was telling you about the other day. I don't want to discuss it on here, but I was thinking about trying to go that way, like with your suggestion that you gave me, like in the hurt comfort direction. Mm-hmm. But that would be more of like a predominating theme rather than just like a scene. So like,
now,
I'm not opposed
to
with
the Omega stuff.
Okay.
Sorry, I was just gonna ask, with the Omega stuff.
Since shifters are a part of it, does that mean everyone has to be a shifter?
Is it just contained within that shifter species?
What do you mean? Like everyone in the book? Or everyone.
So it's like, let's say a shifter and a human walk into a bar.
Like one of them is an alpha and the other one is an omega. Is it cross species? Would they recognize that in each other?
I feel someone has probably done it that way, so you could do it that way if you want.
Okay. I just need to understand the parameters.
If I were going to do it, I'd probably just leave it in just the shifters. But I'm sure people would like that.
Okay. No, because I was thinking of throwing something else in there. I was thinking of throwing in a vampire. I'm going to make my bratty twink a vampire.
Okay. Well, we'll see how that goes. Like, I remember people yelled at me for putting shifters in my book, which was like a setup for something further down the line. You're like, well, why are they in here? It's like, because it's a bigger ecosystem than just these two people. Why not?
Well, it's like I'm gonna have my bratty twink be a vampire, and I can't decide if I want them to be the alpha or the omega in this. And then the shifter is my other dude, and so they're the ones that are gonna bone.
Oh, also to mark it is the twink is always the bottom.
Okay, there'll be a power bottom.
Okay.
I'm gonna write this, and you are gonna be appalled.
I'm fine with that.
I'm gonna make it the stupidest thing anyone's ever read.
I will read it and report back.
All right.
All right, so to wrap up, because I think we're at a good amount of time, despite all the planes and the stuff in the beginning that I'm going to cut. What advice would you have for someone else who is just now realizing that they are also burnt out?
I feel like it's tough to give advice because I'm so bad at it. The advice that I would want to follow is to be kind to yourself, to know that you are not the only one who is going through this, and that there are in fact lots of other people who are really struggling, and I'm assuming that you would give them grace and kindness knowing that they were struggling, and so you should extend the same to yourself.
I would hope that they extend that to other people.
Yes.
Unconsciously. I think that's pretty good. That's what I would say. And in addition to that, I feel part of that is giving yourself a break when you can. And it, like I was saying earlier, it doesn't have to be like a week vacation if you cannot do that, but just like an hour a day or every other day where you just don't you don't fret about work, you don't fret about what you're gonna do for food, you don't fret about what's on the other side of your front door. Like an like I say an hour, and I feel it's being generous, like a half hour, just like just a bit of time to veg out, listen to music, just something where you are not pressing yourself about a task.
Yeah. That's good advice.
I know it's hard to do, especially now, but like you said, a lot of people are dealing with this. It's a pandemic in itself. Like, we're dealing with more than one pandemic at a time here. Go easy on yourself. Go easy on everybody else. Also, wear a mask and get your fucking vaccine if you can.
Yes.
Like, if you have a legitimate medical exemption from a doctor tells you you should not do it, then don't do it. I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to people who do their research on Facebook. Like, you're full of shit. Go fucking get a vaccine.
Yeah. Like, all these people talk about being good patriots or something like that, they won't do the slightest, most simplest thing in order to help their community. Like, stop being a patriot in name only. Go out there and help protect your fellow citizens by getting a vaccine.
Your fellow citizens, and not just yourself, and not just what you want to do because you feel inconvenienced. Because, like, we talked about this before. Like, people think patriotism is having a gun and just yelling.
And like waving a flag.
That is not what the fuck it is. That's you being a fucking madman. Fucking clown.
Being a patriot is working towards the good of your community. And that includes the health of your community. So you do what needs to be done.
Yep. Be a patriot. Get your vaccine. And be good to yourself and each other. I think that's a good one to end on.
Yes. All right.
Go ahead and stop recording.
You've just listened to We're Disappointed. Intro music is Feels Bad by Strong Suit. Outro music is Decisions by Dream Heaven. You can find them on the Free Music Archive and Pixabay. If you have something that disappoints you, you can send us a line at We're Disappointed on Twitter and Instagram, or our website at WeareDisappointed.com, and we can be disappointed together in future shows. Thanks for listening.